Well, as I said before, this is the Christmas of the Mother, and it's the first time I've used that expression, so I'll explain it a little more. The Christmas of the Father is the descent of divine grace through the Son and through the Holy Spirit. The Son is the intermediary between the divine plan for creation, the Godhead, and the human plane. The Son is the embodiment of what we call the Word. The Word is the force of creation. The Word is an energy. It's a creative energy of creation. And it's called, the Word is called other things in the East, but it's the same principle of an energy that creates creation. So that's the idea of the Christmas that we've been celebrating for 2,000 years, that a pathway to heaven was opened up, a pathway, so that people could experience directly divine guidance and divine love, both. The Judaic tradition brought other things into the world, but the current of divine love and divine guidance in the way that we're talking about it, not that guidance wasn't present, but this particular kind of guidance through divine love that came with the advent of Christianity. And so all of Christianity is a manifestation of that current that went out at that time to the whole world, which it was meant to do. It was meant to affect everyone, not just people who became Christians after the apostles went around and taught, not those two. But the mission of the Christ was universal, and so it can be celebrated within a particular religion, but it isn't of a particular religion. It's universal. And the reason it's universal is because the mission of crucifixion and resurrection changed the frequency of vibration on the earth. It changed the dynamic between light and darkness. And the crucifixion is the embodiment, the physical embodiment of that actual change of energy in which darkness was taken on by the one who was crucified in order to, we in the Christian tradition we'd say save, but in the contemporary language we'd say transform, in order to transform the energy of the earth. So salvation is the transformation of the energy of the earth so that people could be removed or freed from darkness. It was true. It's just a different version of what that truth is. When we speak of salvation, we're talking about transformation of something that was being carried by people everywhere and that became transformed through the crucifixion and resurrection. So how does... I'm summarizing again. My apologies. This is the first time I'm doing this, so... So the opening to divine grace has been with us for all these thousands of years, and as I said, not just for Christians, but for people, because a mission that's a universal mission, wherever it is, not just for Jesus, but anybody's universal mission, depends on the frequency of the vibration. For instance, what I have said to people here in the gatherings, I've talked about the Matra Mandir in the same way. As far as I'm concerned, the energy that was brought down through the Matra Mandir, through the mediation of Sri Aurobindo and the Mother, into the Matra Mandir is a universal mission. Whether anybody knows it or not is a different thing. But as far as I'm concerned, it is a portal, a multidimensional portal, that has the potential of expanding to worldwide. So that's what a universal mission is. And there are others. There are others who have come for that purpose. But the particular mission of the Christ was salvation through the transformation of darkness. And that was a particular mission that had to operate that way. Then evolution happened in the last 2,000 years. We haven't been standing still, although some of us feel we've been standing still for 2,000 years. And so evolution happened. And consciousness... Do you still need to... So the movement of the past into the future takes place through the absorption of the current of energy that's being distributed. And people become then infused with it and infused not only with the teachings but with the vibration. The vibration becomes embodied in people, and it becomes embodied on the earth and in the earth, and it does what it's supposed to do. Meanwhile, souls are moving forward in their own consciousness, and so as consciousness awakens to what? To what God has in mind, to divine will. What else does consciousness awaken to except God? As consciousness awakens, then each person on the earth begins to feel more aware of having a deeper being. The words deeper being didn't have any equivalence in consciousness in the West. In the East, yes, but not in the West. But in the progression of evolution, souls began to awaken, and the energy of the mother is what started awakening souls to themselves. The mother is the energy force that awakens indwelling divinity. The mother is the energy of the universal Godhead, the one that's only one, that is part of everything, including part of every one of us. So, in the course of these 2,000 years, and especially in the last 50 to 100 years, let me see, 30, 70, yeah, about 100 years, there's been more of an active influx of energy of the Divine Mother, and the awakening of the soul inside of each of us, as well as the intrinsic life of physical matter, has been progressing. This is the Mother. The Mother is the indwelling divine. That's the second generation of the mission of the Christ, is to accelerate the awakening of indwelling divinity. The mission of the Christ in the first incarnation was to bring forth the divine grace of the Father as love. That was the first, the Creator. The second incarnation or emanation of the mission, is to awaken the soul within each being, to each one to feel who they are as a soul. So, we are present at the time of a new birth. The transformation of the earth, which is taking place now, is awakening the light of the soul. The soul has its own light, just like the light of the universe, the light of creation. And so, the birth of the Christ is happening now through the awakening of the soul. That is the birth of the Christ in its missionary aspect, the awakening of the soul. It's still the same divine word. The divine word was descending through the Son and the Holy Spirit in the past, the descent of the divine word through the Son. And now, the divine word is ascending through the earth and the daughter. The daughter and the earth and the ascension is meeting what was before. And in order to complete the circle, that had to happen. The Christ mission, which is the transformation of human consciousness, had to come through the earth and ascend. It's the same divine word, same principle of creation, same intentionality of God. So we can celebrate Christmas. We can say this is a Christmas of the Mother, because the Mother is the representative of the Christ energy coming through the earth. The Mother is the representative of the Mother, Daughter, Holy Soul, Father, Son, Holy Spirit. Mother, Daughter, Holy Soul. That's the mission of the Christ in this present time. And so we are presently, and I'm being given these words, what I'm saying, because I haven't said this before, the first Christmas of the Mother is to honor the same mission of the Christ coming in its second incarnation through the earth rather than from what we consider to be above, which is not really above, but we call it above. Now it's coming from the earth itself, the manifestation of the Word coming through the earth, to awaken all beings to their souls. That's the current mission of the Christ. And that's why we can celebrate the past, the Christmas of the Father, and the present, which is the Christmas of the Mother, And we can celebrate them both. But what's happening now is the ascension of the Word through the earth. You know, at a moment like this, there's only one thing to say. Awe, bowing, gratitude. That's what we do. Awe, bowing, gratitude. Let's try that. We are in the presence of mystery and of divine incarnation and of God's plan for the earth. So in the presence of mystery, what the human heart in its unfolded state feels is awe, gratitude, bowing. And words are, you know, words are okay, but that's not the main thing. The main thing is awe, gratitude, and bowing. So, if you would like to ask me anything, this was my first, what shall I call it? Declaration, announcement, something like that.
What's the palestrant?
What?
Palestrant.
What's that?
Like a speech.
No, it was the first word, the first time I've used this language in this particular way. But I can say more about it. It's just that we can also have more singing because the singing is what's familiar. And I'm saying to you all, when change occurs, which is occurring, it's not to eliminate the past, but to incorporate it. And the divine word that came through the sonship in the past is being absorbed into the present transformation. It's the same word coming from two different directions, same divine word. And even that, just to use that word, the divine word, I mean, I could talk for an hour about the divine word, but I'm not going to do that today. So do you want to talk about this, or should we go back to singing? What would you like to
talk about? I feel so moved by what you said. I just feel like as soon as you started talking, I could feel my whole body just vibrating to something different. And I just want to say bless you. And I feel like you just talked about a new cosmology. Like, that's what I feel. It was so profound. Just so grateful.
Thank you.
I'd always heard that the main mission of the Christ was love. You're saying that it was the grace of the Father? Are they the same?
The revelation of love is the revelation of God. It's not past, it's not over. But the awakening of the soul to its own love, is the present mission. It's not the love of the Father, it's the love within the self, within the soul. So it's the same love, but the realization of one's indwelling divinity is what's happening now. So it's not that love is not the same, has been removed. It's the love that's inside, the soul's love. That's the awakening. Did I answer your question?
I was asking about the past, and you answered about the present.
Okay, ask me again.
No, I understand.
Well, ask me again.
So I have, my understanding is that the primary mission of the Christ 2,000 years ago was to bring divine love to the earth. Is that not right?
That's a partial right. A partial right. The other part of it is the mystery of salvation, and I was telling you both. The divine love is the universal access to the vibration that's being transmitted. The means by which that transmission took place was the mission of salvation. That's how it took place, so that love could replace the darkness. But the means for doing that was the mission.
feels like you've just given us a revelation of a new world.
I think so. I think I have to correct or at least adjust or refine what I just said to you, because I'm getting used to the use of words like this. Current of energy from the divine source coming through the mediatorship of the Son is the current of divine love. That was the mission, to bring that through in a new way for the first time. Yes. The mission of salvation is the other part of it, to make the world available to that current of love through taking on the darkness of the crucifixion. So I would say, in a better way, there are two parts, and that the current, I don't want to mix up what I'm calling energy, because salvation isn't about energy, it's about the removal of darkness, and the current of divine love is about energy, bringing that through. So I think you said it right, and I didn't say it first, but I'm saying now, there are two parts of the same thing.
One is the essence and the other is the action.
Well, the other is the means by which darkness gets dispelled so that the divine can have access, or human beings can have access to the divine. The penetration of darkness by love and light.
I feel like it's almost like something is bestowed for everyone right now. People can respond, like souls can respond to it on a different level. And we can respond individually as souls.
You're talking about the mission now?
Yeah.
Well, that's the purpose, is for people to awaken to themselves as souls.
It means like we can join with the love that's in the grace and the salvation that's been offered. We can join with
it. I believe that.
In salvation.
Yeah, I believe that. The reason that the words Alpha and Omega were given is because they're two parts of the same thing. They were given in the Bible and they are joining. Alpha and Omega are joining. I know I'm saying a lot. I'm even saying a lot for myself. that's what's happening. Alpha and Omega are joining.
Feels like it's not an accident that half of the people sitting here receiving this message are of Jewish origin.
Why do you feel about that?
Well, so was Jesus.
I think that if you'll permit me to say what is next to say, in the presence of mystery, we can't know all the answers. We can know some of them, but not all of them. And so, the problem is one of words too. The human mind can't really, in the ordinary language, grasp what's beyond the human mind to talk about. So, it's hard to tell you in words what I'm thinking when I say Alpha and Omega are joining. But what I would say is that there is, in the mind of God, before creation began, a plan for creation. It didn't just pop into being. It was planned. The mind of God had a thought of what to create. And so it came into being after the thought. And the thought included what was going to happen to souls that were being created in relation to evolution. The plan included that knowledge. And so the rejoining of the origin with the Alpha and the Omega is part of a circle that's part of the plan for creation. And even that there is a plan, you know, all bowing and gratitude. That's where we go. All bowing and gratitude. Because we are approaching the mystery of the mind of God. Have I lost you all? Are you still with me?
No.
Okay.
There's no question for me. The felt experience is not apparent in the words, but I'm just drinking in all the levels that I'm able to.
There are things one can understand with the mind, and there are things that one can only understand with the heart. Really. So of the two, it's better to understand something with your heart than with your mind. The mind processes information, your heart processes truth. So if anything I said resembles anything that you thought was real, great. If anything I said gives you a sense of wonder about the mystery of life or about the mystery of the divine, wonderful, because that's what we're dealing with, is mystery. And those who are given the task, including myself, of trying to put words to it, try, but it's mainly a response that you have to feel in your deeper self, your heart, rather than something you can dissect with your mind. Later on, if you really wanted to, you could take words apart, but mostly you have to feel what feels like truth to you.
I think that's how I feel myself taking it in tonight, that my mind is kind of shying away from trying to understand all of this conceptually. Nor do I feel a need to. It's very hard to put into words, but I feel kind of like an echo of the spirit, the energy of what you're saying. It's kind of not even exactly in my body. It's like this. There's this kind of space around me that walks around with me, and there's this echo or this sort of love current, just like echoes. And I feel what you're saying in that way. But it's, I don't think I'm getting it from the words at all. I think I'm just getting it because you're invoking it, Guruji-ma. You're just like bringing it into the room.
I'm glad for that. I want to say a few of those words again to invoke it. Because this is the essence. The essence of what I said is that the Christmas of the Father is being absorbed and transformed into the Christmas of the Mother. That's the essence of what I said, and why we're sitting here together today, and why I'm talking to you like this, because I'm presenting something new to put into words, that a transformation is taking place of the original energy of the Christ, and what it's doing is still doing, is being absorbed into this new thing that's happening. That's the essence. Mm-hmm. The Christmas of the Father is being absorbed into the Christmas of the Mother, so that souls can awaken, so that each of you, each of us, can be aware of our own divinity. That's why. That's the mission.
I also feel like, I don't think if I approach this, foundationally, much less alone.
What?
I feel like foundationally, I got my foundation, much less alone. And the reason for that is, you just shifted my sense of what it means to discover that one has a self. Like a kaleidoscope picture just shifted so that I realized, when most people feel like they have a self, a being, it's basically a sense of that life is goodness and there's some connection with life as we experience it. But wait, I feel like what I'm receiving from you is that there's really so much more that every self is about to do and about to receive as far as actually becoming a being. So I'm actually not that different. It's like we're all going to become selves in a completely different way. That's just amazing to me. I know, I realize.
But you have it, that's exactly right. Everybody who's here is going to become a self in a completely new way. Yes, that's exactly right.
In the sense of waking up to their soul.
And the soul waking up to the soul means waking up to oneness. That's the soul. So the self, instead of feeling separate and isolated, wakes up to feeling joined. That's the soul. So, you know, it's like you discover that you had another hand or another arm that you didn't know was there. You have another part of yourself that you didn't know was there. It's attached to your body. You didn't know that it was there. It was invisible. But lo and behold, you have another body that's attached to this one. And all of a sudden you see it's there. It's another part of your body. That's how people are meant to look at each other. as that extension of self, that's the new self. So.
I'm really
grateful.
I'm just
thinking,
you know, you said there's steps and...
I like that. Very optimistic.
I like, it was very beautiful what you said, that it, Father, Son, the Holy Spirit is now Mother, Daughter, and the Holy Soul.
It is.
I really like that.
Mm-hmm. Pleased that they were joining.
No, that's the cosmic blueprint. The cosmic blueprint is for the Trinity to transform it into its new form, to transmit the energy in the way of Mother, Daughter, Holy Soul, as compared to Father, Son, Holy Spirit.
Mm. So they're not joining,
they're joining, but it's hard to say that. In a way, you'd have one triangle superimposed on another triangle. It's getting a little esoteric here.
Well,
just
a
little
bit. It's
a six-pointed star that we carry.
Which really makes a lot of sense.
That's right.
Because one is coming up from, and one is coming down.
Rosemary and Stan, have we lost you? Are you still with us? You haven't heard the previous conversations of this cosmic.
I have no basis for this other than the context that I brought in.
Uh-huh.
So,
is there anything you want to ask me? And the people here have heard little bits, and not bits, but I talk about cosmology a fair amount. So I don't want to lose you. You were kind enough to come with your music and celebration, and we can go back to singing, but here I am making an announcement, so if you want to ask me anything, please do. I just want to include you, really. That's all.
I'm kind of thinking about the earth, what you said about the consciousness coming up from the earth. I'm thinking about, I've been kind of afraid of what's happening with the earth. It seems as though the earth is rebelling against what humanity has done to it. And so I'm wondering how that fits with what's happening. I mean, it feels hopeful to me to look at it through the context of the mother manifesting in a new way. And it reminds me of Kali. I don't know if that fits at all with the way you think about this or the way this is coming through you, because I kind of get that feeling it's coming through. But in Hinduism, there's a version of the feminine, which is very fierce, and it seems like the earth is being kind of fierce right now. It doesn't seem like there's a lot of embrace. It seems like there's a lot of chaos.
There is, as a premise, you haven't been around a long time. The premise of global purification is what's happening now. What global purification is what creates the manifestations of the eruptions, more violent weather patterns, tsunami, anything you want to call the earth when you say is rebelling, like that. Global purification is the release of energy from the earth. It's not meant to be an emotional rebellion. It's meant to be a setting free of energies within the earth. So it's true that this is a time of an upheaval of energy coming through the earth in various forms. Just a few days ago was the volcanic eruption in Indonesia. And that all is about not rebellion, but about the release of bound energy. So in order to understand what I'm speaking of, you would have to have the context of what purification is in terms of light and darkness, and how all beings on this plane, all, including the earth as a physical being, are holding layers of darkness, which is energy opposed to light. And as a part of the divine plan, the earth is being set free. All beings are being set free. But in the process, there's an upheaval, which is, I think, what you're talking about. The context is of purification.
And is that related to this revelation about the mother?
My description is not about the physical earth. My description is about the being of the earth. When we talk about the earth, it's easy, again, for about language. You know, some of us use the word earth and we're talking about the physical earth. I'm talking about the being of the earth that's connected to the divine being. Just as you have a soul, I assume you, I hold that as a reality, but I don't know that. You have a soul, the earth has a soul. The earth is a being. And so the soul of the earth contains the divinity of the oneness of the all, and it's that through which the energy is coming up to awaken souls. It's not the physical earth, although it's coming through the physical earth. It is. But it's coming from the being of the soul of the earth through the physical matrix into the bodies of people. It's a hard thing because we use one word and we have several different meanings for it.
So is the awakening a gradual thing that happens to the collective souls, or is it an individual thing? One individual is awakened, or here, a few?
That's a very good question, and it's both. The awakening that I'm talking about when I talk about Omega, or when I talk about the Christmas of the Mother, is a collective awakening, but that doesn't mean it happens for everybody identically. It happens for those who have some partnership with it, who want to be awakened, who want to experience more of their inner life. So a person has to choose that too. It doesn't just automatically happen.
How do we recognize someone who is awakened or not, whether or not they are awakened?
That's a very good question.
Does it manifest some way that is apparent?
Yeah, that's a very good question. I don't think that I can address that. I think the real answer is that your own sense of truth would have to tell you the answer to that. But we would first have to talk about more. We're just having, you and I are just having the beginning of a conversation here. We'd have to talk more about what the soul is, you know, in my language or your language. And then we would have a platform to say, okay, what are you awakening to? So if we discuss it and you say, this is what the soul is and this is what we think we're awakening to, then you could say, ask the question, well, how do I know it's there? But first we have to have the first conversation about what the soul is and what the awakening is to. So we can do that.
Mm-hmm. Obviously there's a few conversations involved.
That's right. That's right. A few, just a few.
Just a few.
Can you say just a few words? I know this isn't the main theme. About how, what you said about the purification aspect of what's going on the earth, how does that fit in with climate change as a teacher for human souls? About like how perfect God's plan is and what are the consequences of our unconsciousness, which we're witnessing. How do they fit together?
Yeah, well, you and Stan can, you know, we'll finish this and we'll go on to the next session here. It's a very big subject. I don't know how to do that in short. Yeah. Climate change is happening as we understand it now because the Earth's various ecosystems have, through human intervention, become seriously out of balance. The balance of nature in its various systems is complexly interwoven, and through misunderstanding, ignorance and abuse and indifference, and just not knowing that the earth wasn't just an object, I mean that's the primary thing, the lack of balance created all the ramifications that are now involved with climate change. And there is a variability of climate change that's a natural ebb and flow over millennia. This that we're in now exceeds that variability, that natural variability. So you're asking me, how does purification relate to climate change? And all I can say right now is that God turns everything to good.
Mm-hmm.
The fact that human beings have misused the earth and that there are consequences for it will also be turned to good. The fact that there are upheavals now and that we're suffering as a result of it, will be, the end result of that is meant to be light, not darkness. It's meant to be a transformation of human consciousness. So I think you got the gist of it when you said you felt that there was some purpose that was not just about darkness. I think you got the gist of it. I didn't hear.
Could you say that the purification in the mother-daughter holy soul, that purification is the correlation to salvation?
That's what I haven't thought of, Will. I don't really know. I'd have to understand what you meant, and so I haven't put the two together.
Well, you said that salvation was transformation in our language. So in the language that we use, it would be
universal transformation through the crucifixion. I said that.
Yeah,
so no, you're helping Will out?
I'm just wondering, is that what you're talking about? Like that there's a...
That's the question.
No, I can't.
Yeah.
Will one of you tell me what the question is?
What I said, if there's a direct correspondence between purification of the earth through the upwelling of the Divine Mother through the earth.
And salvation?
Salvation with the holy grace of coming from the Divine Father through the Son.
I see what you're saying. Salvation in the way that we're talking about the Christian tradition comes through the crucifixion and resurrection. That's not happening through the energy moving through the earth, as you're describing it. Maybe you're describing something else, but that's not happening through the energy. The mechanism is the taking on of darkness and the transformation of darkness. That's the mechanism of salvation.
It sounds to me like, how did we have to meet salvation by taking responsibility and stuff, the beginning individual?
Well, you all have wonderful questions, but I don't have all the answers right now. Tune in another year. Maybe I'll have more answers. Not maybe, I'll have more answers. But these are very good questions. Some of them I can answer, but not all of them. That you're taking the concepts into your own inner chamber and trying to connect with what, you know, your sense is of it. And I can't say that you're not, that it's not correct. It's just that if you ask me a question of purification and salvation, I haven't put those two words together in my mind, so I don't know the answer to that question, except that salvation in the past is related to the taking on of darkness through the crucifixion and resurrection. That I know. Do we want to do something else before we go? Because we have food downstairs, and I don't want you all to go home without having some food.
Can we sing a little drummer boy?
I'm all right with any suggestion, but as long as we get to do, we set up the table there.